As the Russian war drags on, Ukraine is emerging as a world leader in drone weapons technology. And the new Minister for Defence is going all in on battlefield tech that's capable of making lethal decisions with no human oversight. The New York Times Kyiv Bureau Chief Andrew Kramer recently profiled Ukraine's 35-year-old Defence Minister, Mykhailo Fedorov. Andrew writes that the future of war is being written in Ukraine, and Mr. Fedorov, a technology evangelist, is one of its authors. And I'm very pleased to say that Andrew joins us now from Kyiv. Welcome, Andrew.
Thank you for having me on.
The new minister, Mykhailo Fedorov, only got the gig of defense minister in January. He's only 35 years old. You've been able to sit down with him for your profile. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he is a man with a tech bro background, not a military background. He was an advertising executive before President Zelensky's election in 2019. He managed digital advertising for the campaign and then got a job at a new ministry, the Ministry of Digital Transformation, which was an e-government initiative. So his whole career is built around bringing technology to government. And now with his new position, it is bringing technology to the military.
That background that you described does sound like it has the makings of a culture clash within the Ministry of Defense. Are there signs of that happening, Andrew?
Yes, there are. He has not served in the military. He's a relatively young man, and he is taking over a military which has been highly effective. The Ukrainian military early in the war was praised for high morale, effective small unit tactics, and then in two counteroffensives in 2022, very well planned maneuver operations in the relatively flat and open terrain of eastern Ukraine. So the military definitely has a background of traditional operations and generals who've risen through the academies and through the ranks. And there have been signs of a culture clash between this leadership in the military and Fedorov's approach. Now, it's not entirely true that they're at odds. The soldiers in the field and officers all the way up to the commander-in-chief, Sirsky, have embraced technology and drones as effective weapons and reorganized the military around this concept of unmanned systems. But there is definitely a culture clash in how quickly Fedorov is trying to press these reforms into the army, and a sense that they don't always fit with the reality of trench warfare in eastern Ukraine.
Minister Fedorov has developed a strategy which is called, as I understand it, air-land economy. What is the thrust of that strategy, Andrew?
Well, the thrust of this is that the war in Ukraine is a war of attrition, and Russia is a far larger country than Ukraine. It has a population about four times that of Ukraine, and Ukraine will not win with manpower in this war. The concept is replacing people with robots and let the robots do the fighting, essentially. And the land portion of it is the mix of automated and unmanned systems that we see now. The drones account for something like 70 to 80% of all casualties now on both sides. The Russians are also taking these approaches. So drones have replaced howitzers, tanks, sniper rifles, a large variety of weapons. And now land robots are also being adapted for casualty evacuation and also for some combat operations. So the automation along the front is far along, but the concept is to push it farther, to remove operators from the front line, to use online systems, essentially, so the operator could sit in Kiev and pilot a drone along the front, and pilot a land robot with a machine gun. The air portion of it is about air defense. And the goal is 95% intercept rate for Russian drones. The intercept rate is now lower than that, and it's much lower than that for ballistic missiles and cruise missiles. So air is about defending the airspace, and economy is about trying to raise the cost of the war on Russia to encourage a negotiation. Now, importantly, there's not talk now about liberating Ukrainian land. It's about a strategy to bring Russia to the negotiating table.
Minister Fedorov is certainly focused on the possibility of autonomous drones, you know, robots that have the capacity to make lethal decisions without human oversight. Does Ukraine actually have that sort of technology at the moment?
Well, that's a very good question. Thank you. It depends how AI targeting is defined. And depending on how you classify this, maybe they do, maybe they don't. The issues are actually more narrow in scope than the broader question of whether AI-powered robots should be allowed to to fight. And I think that inevitably militaries will be adopting these systems. Right now, it's about the final few hundred yards of a drone flight where jamming and signal loss is a key question. So it's almost like the last mile question for tech in the civilian sector. How do you get to the household? So how do you get right to the target through loss of signal and jamming? And these auto-targeting systems, there are four or five companies in Ukraine that have auto-targeting systems that have been used on the battlefield. They identify an object, a car, a tank, or a howitzer, and they know the best place to strike it, such as the center of mass of a car or the breech system of a howitzer, and can fly autonomously using the flight controller on the device would then be guided by the interpretation of the visual image on the video screen using AI. There are a lot of problems. Sometimes they hit the shadow instead of the actual object. They struggle to navigate around trees and telephone poles, and cars swerve unpredictably. So it's not a foolproof system, but it's already being used.
Okay, so it's already being used. And is its use a point of difference between the new defense minister and the more conventional military leadership?
On this point, I think there's certainly agreement. If there's an effective system, targeting system, everybody wants it. The question here is more between Ukrainian leadership and organizations like the International Red Cross and others who are looking at international humanitarian law, the body of treaties such as the Geneva Conventions and various conventions that govern how wars are fought. And the question is whether an autonomous AI system would be a grave human rights violation that we create these systems and they would not distinguish between civilians and combatants, for example. They would not be able to adhere to the Geneva Conventions. So I think that's where the tension lies.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with the New York Times Kyiv Bureau Chief Andrew Kramer, who recently profiled Ukraine's recently minted 35-year-old defense minister, Mykhailo Fedorov. Andrew, I wonder if I could ask you about another aspect of the new defense minister's approach, which is this memorably named program, Avenger Labs. What's Avenger Labs all about?
Well, this is an interesting program. Because the drones that are used now on the front are video-guided, Ukraine has a vast library of drone video. I think it's 5 million hours of battlefield drone video, which are both strike drones zeroing in on a target. And some of them are obviously quite grim. They show people running away, hiding, trying to throw things at the drone to save their lives, jumping at the last moment. So there are videos of machines killing people. There's no easier way to really put it because the video targeting system records up to the last minute of the person's life if they're hit. And the concern is, providing an AI model with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of hours of machines killing people would train that AI system to be better at doing just that. And I think there's been concerns raised about the potential long-term implications of that project.
Andrew, can you tell us about Minister Fedorov's relationships with U.S. tech companies?
Well, Fedorov is the point man in Ukraine for the relationship with Silicon Valley. And early on in the conflict, various leaders of tech industry, Eric Schmidt, former CEO of Google, Alex Karp, the CEO of Palantir.
Palantir, yes, the big data company. We actually spoke to the biographer of Alex Karp on Sunday Extra a couple of weeks ago, and he's certainly a colorful character.
Yes, and he early on had an interest in the war in Ukraine and had met with Fedorov and traveled to Ukraine when it was still quite dangerous and difficult to travel to Kyiv. And they have a relationship. They provide products to the Ukrainian military. It has not been confirmed that Palantir is one of the companies that might participate in the Avenger Labs, but it seems like a likely candidate. There are said to be 20 AI companies, defense companies, that are interested in accessing this data set.
What would the Ukrainian military get out of sharing this data set with companies like that?
That's a very good question. Thank you. One of the ideas that Fedorov has is that data has value. And the data that has come out of the war is the silver lining. Obviously, Ukraine's paid with tremendous cost fighting the war, and it has retained this data. And the idea is to monetize it or to trade it for something that would help in Ukraine's defense. In the case of Avenger Labs, the program is structured so that the AI model that's trained on this video would have to be made available to the Ukrainian military.
Mm. And could you give us a sense of how Minister Fedorov is perceived throughout Ukraine at the moment? Is he a controversial figure or is he popular amongst Ukrainians in general?
Well, the war in Ukraine has had a tremendous cost on Ukrainian society. By best estimates, something on the order of 150,000 Ukrainians have been killed, and maybe 400,000 or 500,000 have been gravely injured. And nearly every family has been affected, and at least millions of direct family members of men who've been killed or gravely wounded have borne the brunt of this war. Anything that would reduce the human cost of the war is cheered in Ukraine. The concept of saving lives by using technology is widely embraced. And I don't think the controversies around AI would gain traction in Ukrainian society. If this would be effective in defending their homes and defending their families, they would be embraced. He is popular. He's seen as a guy who is able to bring technology to bear in the conflict. I think among ministers, he has the highest approval rating or popularity rating. It's something like 29%. In this poll, it was measuring who is your favorite minister, something like that. So there is support for Fedorov. He has just started this job. This is now the fourth, I believe, defense minister during the war. So it's a position that tends to tarnish those who hold it. They're blamed for setbacks and are associated with the casualties and with just how grim this war is. So we'll see how it plays out long term. But for now, he is supported.
And Andrew, just finally, what is your overall assessment of the state of the war?
It's a conflict that's now in its fifth year. Essentially, if you look at it from a big perspective, in the first year, there was maneuver warfare and counteroffensives. Ukraine pushed back and recaptured about half of the land that Russia had captured in the initial invasion. And then we set into a long stalemate, and small portions of land changed hands. Through the last year and a half or so, Russia had been effective with an offensive in the south and east, and just grindingly slow, but they captured a significant amount of territory, significant in the context of this very slow-moving war. And in the past several months, the tide has turned and positions are being held. And this is being done by widening the front, by increasing the range of drones and making every step more costly. It had been a stalemate essentially before. Now, I think it's even more officially at a stalemate, that they fought to a standstill. And one of Fedorov's initiatives is to raise the cost per square kilometer of Russian advances. And the target is 200 killed or wounded per square kilometer. He recently announced some new numbers. In October, for example, it was 67 Russians per square kilometer captured. In March, it was 254. So you can see them slowing down and the cost going up. In April, it was 179. It bounces around a bit, but the general trend is that it's becoming slower and more costly for Russia to advance.
Andrew Kramer, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Extra.
Thank you.
And Andrew is the New York Times Kyiv Bureau Chief, and he recently profiled Defense Minister Mykolo Fedorov in a piece called Enter the Killer Robots, the Ukrainian Forging the Future of Warfare.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.